Say, come this morning, the Spirit and the Bride. Say, come, oh, come, come, Church of Dublin, the Spirit and the Bride. Say, come.
Hallelujah. Are you saying come?
Hallelujah.
I'm saying come today. Sister Verica, she's wanting to thank the Lord for a safe journey back to Ireland. Greetings to all the saints from her parents in Slovakia. We were just speaking of her in the car today, wondering when she was back. We'll have consecration of babies at the end, dedication. Let's bow our heads, saints, just before we start the service. Oh, Father, once again we approach unto thee, Lord. Father, it's wonderful to come on holy ground. It's wonderful to worship you. Thank you for your people. Thank you for worship. Now, Father, we acknowledge, even as prayer has been prayed, have thine own way. Lead us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Saints, maybe sit it for 1 second. Just before the service, I'm sure many saints were here last Sunday in the Sunday school, and there was a bit of a misunderstanding. And Brother Maxwell wanted to come to say something before the saints concerning that.
God bless you, saints. Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor was saying, last Sunday school, there was some kind of a misunderstanding. And the thing is, I was standing at the place of authority, and I should have been able to contain the situation. And I failed in that place. So I want to ask the church to forgive me that it won't happen again. But this is a sign that we, the ministers, we need your prayers all the time. So keep on praying for the ministers, and I believe it will not happen again. As Pastor has come to elaborate all about church order, I believe the Holy Spirit now, from today, is going to lead us to do the right thing all the time. Amen. God richly bless you.
As you all say, every situation is an opportunity to learn. For every single one of us. Is that brother? He sneaked in without telling us. Brother, you're not allowed to do that, bro. God bless you, brother. We're so glad that Sister Bibi is in again and Sister Lydia as well. God bless them richly for the little babies that have come. We thank the Lord for that. For the visitors in our gates, may the Lord bless you as well. I'm not too sure the names of the visitors today, but may the Lord bless the visitors. May they feel at home in the presence of the Lord. And we wouldn't mind if we could just ask not too much heat today on the heaters. It's getting warm. It feels like Congo Brazzaville again today. So let's not let people sleep too much. So let's stand, saints. Let's open our Bibles to the word of the Lord. Let's open the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges. We'll take our thought from there. Last night, we were just looking a little bit at the mind of Christ. I'm sure every person here desires more of the mind of Christ. Because it's our own minds that have got us into trouble so many times. This is speaking about Gideon. Let's just take a thought from there. From verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the house of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Now the prophet in Countdown, he speaks so much about the advances in science and how they paralleled with advances in the spiritual world. And we know the way that that works. Yeah. We've looked at that many, many times. And I was just this week thinking of the mind of Christ, just meditating upon that thought. Now, if you just think inside of your life, like we said last night, the times of blessing, the times where the Lord really blesses you, is when your mind is in a certain place. Now, if you think in your thoughts, you think in negative thoughts, you're dwelling upon negative things, it's impossible, the prophet says, to bless you in that kind of a condition. The Lord, the first thing that he has to do, he has to bring a renewing of the mind. You know, because we're born with certain characteristics, we're born with certain traits, we inherit certain things, and there's a lot of things that we go through. And medical science, it's really interesting, I was reading a lot about it this week, but medical science has so much proved the same fact which the prophet says, that so much of what you go, everything that we go through, it conditions your mind, it conditions your brain. Now, if you grow up in a relationship that's abusive and you're always being told things negative about yourself, if you speak to your children and you always tell your children, you're foolish, you're worthless, you're never going to account to something, you don't realize, but those words and the spirit behind those words creates a condition, and it actually alters the brain. It actually alters the thought patterns inside of somebody. Now, whatever you go through, we don't realize how much, but the prophet really did in the message, but you don't realize how much we get conditioned by the things that we go through. And if the Lord wants to deal with us and take us from where we are, the first thing many times he has to do is change our mind about this. That's the first thing that he has to start dealing with us, because if you've been in a certain condition, you've been in a certain rut for a long time, if you've been in a situation, maybe that's unpleasant, or maybe you're in a job that you don't like, you're in a relationship that's hard, whatever, you've had sickness for a long time, after a while, if you're not careful, you start to accept your condition as being normal. And when the Lord now wants to start to deal with you, he has to come down to where you are, but he has to start to try to change the way that you look at that situation. And that's exactly what we read in the book of Judges. Before the Lord could come and really get the full expression out of Gideon, which he had made and called this man for, God first had to come and change the man's way of thinking. Because Gideon for so long had been defeated. Every year, here would come the Malachites and take away the harvest. The Malachites would come on their inheritance. And the man, although he knew the message of the hour, he went and he sat and he listened to the prophet. Just read it there. And the prophet told him powerful things. The prophet told him things about God's thoughts and God's mind and what God had done and what God wanted to be to his people. But because of Gideon and the things that he had been through, the things that he was surrounded by, the environment that he was in, he never really could fully accept his deliverance. And he could never really fully express what he was called to express, until God himself came down and started to do something in a certain atmosphere for him to start seeing himself in a different way. And it's that great perception of things. Now, some people in their perceptions, they're so proud. You know, they have deceived thinking, the prophet says. They think that they know everything. Remember, Jesus speaks about those kind of things. He says, you know, you think this, but it doesn't mean that it's the case. The mind is a very powerful thing, and God knows that, and the devil knows that, and that's why the greatest battle ever fought is in your mind. That's where the battle is always going to start. The devil, the prophet says, chose that as a battleground, because that's the place where decisions are made. But there's always a process of events and steps and a thought process that leads you up to making a decision. You know, and that's why Satan knows, and he studied the human being. He knows the way that things work long enough, and the Lord knows the way that he made us, that the great factor that we've got to get right is here in the mind. Before something can get to your soul, before something can really express itself through the seed that is inside of you, the battlefield that it's got to go through is the mind. And God really understands this. And you'll find this so many times in the scripture. That's why when the prophet says about when the supernatural comes in, we have the mind of Christ. Now, the only time you're in your right mind is when you're in the spirit. When you are in the spirit, that's the right mind. That's the real reality. That's not like we say many times when you pray and you seek the Lord and he comes and he speaks to you, or he shows you a certain situation and he brings a certain feeling and he shows you what needs to be done. That is the reality. When you come out of his presence and you get back into the battlefield of life, that's not the reality anymore. Now, don't listen now to the change in your own reasoning, the change that your own understanding will bring to you. But that which was in his presence, when the supernatural moves in and his spirit moves in, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. And friends, the mind of Christ never fails. The mind of Christ is the real reality. This angel was speaking to Gideon, telling him, you're a mighty man of valor. But at that time, he didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor. And the reason he didn't was because of all the things that he'd been through, all the things that his father's house had been through. So the Lord had to spend time with Gideon and take him through a process for him to come into harmony with this mind that God had towards him. And he had to face up to certain of his fears. He had to face up to certain situations that were uncomfortable to him. He had to go beyond his comfort zone. He had to take certain risks. He had to step out beyond where he had been before. And then God started to show and to express through him who he really was and what he could really do. And that's the way that it is with each and every one of us. You know, he had to come. I remember Brother Lubanza preaching about Jacob's awakening. It's a similar sort of a thing. No, he had to awaken and realize who he was. And that was a process. And that's an individual process, because every single one of us is individual. You know, in the human race, there's two different sides. There's those that are given to temper and those that are given to fear. You know, you find there's the dividing line. There's certain people that are introverts and certain people that are extroverts. Some people you have to hold them back and some people you have to encourage them to go forward. God has made us in different ways. So, you know, what I have to face up to, the fears that I have to face up to, the battleground that I have to face up to, maybe it's different than you. Now, you might be a person like Paul that you can step right into the unknown. And, you know, you might be a pioneer in life that you can, you know, take risks and, you know, excite you to do those sorts of things. But you may be a person like Abraham where, you know, the Lord tells him, go to the land, I'll show you. And he only goes halfway and he takes his father with him and he takes Lot with him because he wants some security around him. And then the Lord has to take away all the security from him. And then he gets there, but he takes Lot along with him. And then the Lord has to wait for Lot to die. And then the Lord says, okay, now this is the condition that I want you to be in. So we all have our own individual battles that we're facing up to. And that is why the message of the hour is so powerful. Because the message is the mind of Christ expressed. It's the mind of Christ expressed to us in this age. And it's the mind of Christ expressed to each and every situation that we're in. And that's why I find God's word so powerful. Because you can take 66 books of the Bible and God can use that to minister to billions of people. To every individual circumstance that you're going through. And as his word comes, his anointed word, you realize he knows who I am. He knows my name. He knows where I am. He's the one who knows how to get us to the place that we're supposed to be. And we see that in so many examples inside of the Bible. But it all starts in the mind. That's why, like the prophet says, we know it so well. He says the right mental attitude towards any of God's promises will bring it to pass. You've got to first get the right mental attitude. You've got to get it right in your mind first. Now, no matter how much somebody tries to tell you something, remember back in the book of Exodus, I think it's chapter 6, when Moses came to deliver the sons and daughters of Israel in the Exodus. But because of the anguish, the Bible says, because of what they had been through, when Pharaoh put more labor and bondage upon them and told them, no, you must even go and collect your own straw in order to make the bricks. It says because of this anguish that they had, even though Moses came with an anointed message and came and brought them the word of deliverance, because of the condition they were in, they couldn't see and accept the reality of what he was trying to say to them. So Moses understood. He came to them. He told them, thus saith the Lord, the God of our fathers has sent me, and so forth. But the people, it was their hard bondage, the condition they were in. And God understood that. So I'm sure Moses had to take a step back and say, okay, let's approach this in a slightly different way. Let's try to build things up from where the people are. Let's try to get them thinking about things the way that they should start thinking about things. Because when you've been 400 years whipped, when you've been 400 years in the mud pits, you don't feel like the chosen people of God. Now, when you're at work the whole week and things are hard at work and everything seems to be going wrong, it doesn't seem to be a reality to you sometimes, the authority and the power that you have. You know, and so God, he understands that. That's why Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Proverbs, the Bible says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Now, there's an important principle because the way that you think, the way that you look at things, the way that you look at yourself, the way that you look at situations around you, that's what you're going to become. You know, what you accept, yeah, what you meditate upon, what you fellowship with, that's going to make you into what you are. That's why bad company corrupts good communications. If you're going to go around negative people, you're going to become a negative person. If you're going to fellowship with critics, you're going to become a critic. Because that's the atmosphere. That's the thoughts that you're taking in. That's what you're starting to meditate upon. And medical science has proved that every thought that you think, there's a chemical reaction inside your body. When there's fear, you get yourself into a certain situation, your body releases chemicals, yeah? Your heart starts to beat. There's adrenaline and different things that are released. There's the chemicals that flood your body in response to the certain thoughts that you're having at that time. If you have negative thoughts, they've proven that negative thoughts floods your body with poisonous, with toxic chemicals. Now, when you're always thinking negative, that's why they say your mind is so related to so many of the diseases that we have. So many things. And the prophet himself said it. How many times? He says, you're a deep thinker. He'll be there in the prayer line. He says, you're a deep thinker. You're always crossing bridges before you get to them. He says, that's why you've got problems with your stomach. You know, so the ulcers in the stomach and the gastrointestinal problems that somebody was having was directly relating to the way they looked at life. If a person would worry all the time about the future and a person was negative, I think I'm going to be sick, I think things aren't going to work out properly. You know, as you're thinking those thoughts, your brain is adapting. Your brain and the different impulses in your brain and the chemicals that are released starts to release chemicals that you start to feel the same way that you think. That's why if you think positive thoughts, if you get yourself in the Word of God, you get yourself into the Spirit, you start to feel in yourself joy. You start to feel light. You start to feel uplifted because they've proved that your thoughts come first. And then your body now releases chemicals to make your body feel in accordance to the way that you're thinking. And that's why it's such an important thing for us to fellowship with the mind of Christ. It's such an important thing for us not to just accept every thought that comes and not just accept the status quo that we find ourselves in. It shouldn't be like that. And that's why God, when He sent the message of the hour, the prophet had to speak of these things so many times. Because the prophet knows we come from denominational backgrounds. We come from all kinds of unbelief that we are born in and that we are raised up in. And He's got to start dealing with us. And the Word has to come to us, just like with Mary. Now, when the angel came to Mary at first, it was hard for her to understand. Now, her first reaction was fear. And that's why the angel had to say, "Fear not. Now, you found favor. I've come from the presence of Almighty God." You know, and then when she stood in the presence of the angel and the angel ministered to her, he started to say things to her. But at first, she wasn't thinking down that way. She couldn't quite understand how it was going to be. She said, "How can it be? I haven't even known a man." And then as she stood longer and longer in the presence of the anointed angel, and he spoke to her God's thoughts concerning her, something started to change inside of her. She started to believe things that the day before she wouldn't have been able to believe for. And that's the importance of the Word. That's the importance of the message of the hour. Now the prophet makes it clear. I'll just read it from Greatest Battle Ever Fought. He makes it clear that there's a difference here. You know, there's books like The Power of Positive Thinking and that. It's not that. You know, the power isn't in your thoughts. The power is in the Word of God. The power is getting His Word into your mind. The power is in the mind of Christ. When you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, when God speaks to you and you meditating upon what God says about you, that's what makes the difference. In Greatest Battle, He says, now, there's where the battle begins, right in your mind. Now remember, it's not Christian Science now. Mind over matter. You'll find many websites out there that want to tell you how you can change your thinking and all this. Well, maybe it works a little bit. I don't want to change my thinking. I want to have His thinking. Because if I get His Word in me, that's going to change my thinking. Because I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. There's the power of transformation in His Word. That's the thing that makes us think the right way. The power of revelation. I don't want to use my own human ability to try to change the way that I think. I want to get myself in a channel that divine revelation starts working something inside of me. That there's a transformation in the way that I start seeing things because He's revealing the reality to me. And I'm starting to realize that the way that I'm looking at this isn't really the reality. This is deceived thinking. This is the way the devil's made me look at this for a long time. So He says it's not Christian Science. He says the mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God. And there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. It's not the thought, mind over matter. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. Your spirit catches the Word of God. That's the thing that's got life in it. And it brings life into you. Ah, friends, don't you love to be in His presence? Don't you love when you get in the Word and it becomes personal to you? And He starts speaking to you. You'll come out of there thinking so much different about everything. The world seems a different place. When you go with your burdens into prayer. When you go and you get yourself in His presence. Then you wait upon Him and He starts speaking to your situation. You'll come out of there with a spring in your step. You'll come out of there feeling different even in your physical body. You will have been washed by the waters of the word in your mind. You'll be seeing things the way that he sees things. And friends, that's where the victory is. The victory is in his word. And he sends his word to us. He sends his word concerning the situation that we're in. The prophet says, oh brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, then the word of God is manifested in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Our friends, it's the word. That's why you find believers can go the whole week not getting in the word. Then they wonder why they're not victorious. You find somebody just reads the Bible 5 minutes in a day, yeah? And then you pray just a short prayer, Lord, bless the day. Thank you for the food. Bless my children when they go to school. You pray like that. You think you're going to live victorious. You may be predestined. You may be foreordained. You may be divinely commissioned before the foundation of the world. But that kind of a life is never going to bring forth an expression of anything. You've got to see and recognize where your strength comes from. You've got to understand that God and his word, when he sends his word to you, you've got to accept that word in a certain way. It's that word that can do the job. In the message, Awakening Jesus, I like the title as well. Because, you know, Jesus was in the boat. And they were in the storms of life, yeah? And the prophet says, I was talking to a group of doctors the other day. And the one said, I read your book on divine healing. I said, I guess you criticized it. He says, no, sir, I have to admit that you're right. I said, thank you, Dr. Shun. He said, Brother Branham, we have record that when we tell a person that's got a malignancy or something going to kill him, or an ulcer ready to burst, or tubercular, it depends on what attitude they take. If they get all torn up, they'll die right away. But if they take the attitude, well, dying is just part of living, it's all right. You know, it almost retards the case. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I was saying to Gitana the other day about my granddaddy when he died. My grandmother died 5 years before me. And he only had one ambition. He was about 75 years old. He wanted to live to 80 years old. And he was very active. And he used to drive around. Used to come pick us up from school and things. And then when he got to 80 years old, and then we had a special party for him. And all of his old friends were there. Surprise party. It was such a great day for him. After that, he sold his car. He sold most of his things, and he just gave up the will to live. And then a few months later, he was in the hospital. And then my parents were asking the doctors, what's wrong with him? They say, just to tell the truth, he's given up the will to live. He just doesn't seem to have any purpose, anything to live for. And that attitude, the moment you take that attitude, sicknesses start to come in. The devil starts to take an advantage of that. But if he could have still had that attitude that, no, I'm not giving into this. I've still got plenty to live for. He could have lived a lot longer than he did. And that's what they're starting to find out when they study. As the prophet was saying, the attitude that you take. The prophet says, you know, I thought, if that mental attitude taken like that, what will it do when the Holy Spirit strikes the inner man? If a person can just about stop cancer in its tracks by just thinking positive about it, yeah? By just saying, no, I'm going to fight this thing, yeah? I read of a man who overcame cancer. You know the way that he overcame cancer? Inside of his mind, he visualized he had a tumor. And he visualized that he was playing a video game. And the tumor was the enemy. And he was just shooting at this enemy, like a video game. And the cancer disappeared. That's powerful, friends. Amen. The prophet's saying, if that's what people can do with the natural mind, how much more when the Holy Ghost drops down in the channel? How much more when he inspires you with his word? How much more can things take place then? He says, what will the Holy Ghost do? He says, but it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people. People say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. He says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. Because, you know, if you get to thinking negative, everything inside of your physical makeup, everything inside of the way you're made up psychologically, it starts to respond to you being negative. And if you start thinking, I think I'm going to get the flu. You know, I don't think I'm going to escape this flu this time. You've opened yourself up. Because negative thoughts, they've proved, suppress your immune system. Those chemicals that are released, they affect your immune system. They make you even physically less able to withstand disease. Just negative thoughts. And why, if you think about it? Because from the beginning, God never ordained us to think negative thoughts. In Eden, Adam never had a negative thought. Eve never had a negative thought. Negativity is the fruits of the fall. But the atonement has come to cover everything which happened under the fall to restore us back. And that's why never accept negativity inside of yourself. Never accept those things. The prophet says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. Oh, friends, the greatest mistake you can make in life is to talk the devil's language. Don't talk his language. Don't say, I don't think people love me. That's nonsense. Those are nonsense thoughts. People come to church and they think, I don't think people want me to be here. That's nonsense. How can Christians not want another Christian to succeed? How can we not want every person here not to be in the rapture? Don't speak the devil's language. Listen to what he says. He says, you mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Say, I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. I believe in divine healing with all my heart. Even if you don't yet feel it in yourself, the change. But what's the truth? The way you look at things or what God says about things. What is true? Is the Bible true? Is your thoughts true? The Bible's true. So why speak your thoughts? Speak what's true. Speak what's truth. If you don't feel God loves you, what does the Bible say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He says he loved us when we were yet his enemies. And he sent Christ to die for us. That's the truth. My feelings can deceive me every day of the week. But God's word is the reality. It's the truth. So always say what God says. And as you say it, as you speak in God's word, after a while you start speaking, you're going to start believing it. It's going to start changing even the wiring in your brain. The way your brain operates, instead of your brain operating down a negative channel now, the brain starts to adapt itself to the things that you're saying, to the atmosphere that you're creating around yourself. And soon your brain is going to work in a positive way instead of a negative way. There's going to be some battle there, depending on the things that you've gone through. That might be a process that you have to go through, but it always works. And that's why Paul says, think on these things. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Now the great enemy that we have is when we get ourselves alone by ourselves. And we get ourselves in a little dark cave and we start to fellowship with our dark thoughts. That's the worst thing that you can do for yourself. That's the worst thing. You are just inviting so many problems into your life by doing that. For you to sit by yourself and just start thinking your own thoughts and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to amount to much in this life. You know, everything always goes wrong for me. You know, I don't think God loves me. I don't think that brother loves me. See what people said about me here and there. Friends, you've got to change your way of thinking. You've got to come to a point that you say, enough is enough. There's got to be a turning point. You've got to be like Shamgar. Shamgar got himself in a stage that every year the enemy came and knocked him down. And took everything that he had. Don't tell me that doesn't affect the way that you look at yourself. Don't tell me that didn't affect the way that he read his Bible and the way that he thought about the things of God. Every year, negativity. Every year, defeat. There had to come a certain turning point. There had to come a point when he says, if I'm going to sit here like those lepers, remember in the days of Elisha, and they were sitting outside the city wall. They said, if we sit here, we're going to perish. Let's rather go to the camp of the enemy. And they got there. All the provisions are waiting for them. You've got to rise up out of your circumstances. You've got to say, if I sit here, I perish. Let me step out of this condition that I'm currently in. Let me face up to the reality of things. Because maybe my reality isn't God's reality of things. And you generally find that's the way that it is. The prophet says, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts, you can't control what comes in your mind. But the prophet says, when it starts, don't entertain it. That's where the problems come in now. No, we go and we sit at home. And now we have the devil sitting on one side of the table. We put our lunch. We give him a drink. We give him something. We're entertaining the devil. And then he's speaking to us and we're speaking to him. And he's saying, no, I don't think people really love you. Yeah, no, I don't think they really do. The prophet says, when the negative thoughts come, don't entertain them. Don't entertain those kind of thoughts. They've got to come, but get them away as quick as you can. And you know the best way to do that is the word. Get yourself in the word. See what God says about you. You know, when they were studying and they were saying that if you want to really be healthy, especially as you get into old age, they said one of the most important things is the social aspect of things. Because they say loneliness. Let me read it to you. It's quite interesting what they say about loneliness. They say the social factor is so critical because we're such social creatures. Right from Eden, God said it's not good for man to be on his own. It's not good for any of us to stay too long on our own, friends. Because we get in a certain way of thinking, we get in a certain way of seeing things. And like I always say, if you're not socially connected with people, you go off balance. Amen. He'll take you far down in your thought process. You'll go so far, so far, so far if you stay on your own, in your negativity, in your deceived thinking. You can go very, very far. But they say the social factor, if you want to keep yourself positive, stay socially active. Amen. Spend time in fellowship. You know, if you're feeling discouraged, don't stay on your own. Go to somebody that God has put inside of your life. The brothers and sisters born for your days of adversity. Go and sit down with somebody. Go and sit down with somebody who's walking with God at that time. Let somebody start speaking God's word into your experience once again. Start speaking what's beyond the veil inside of you. It's so important, the social aspect. But Satan wants to do that. How many times does the prophet says, if Satan wants to get one of the sheep, what does he do? He separates it from the rest. He starts to separate and isolate that sheep. And then he has all opportunity that he needs to do that. That's why you need to go against your feelings many times. Because many times you'll go home feeling so depressed, so discouraged. You receive certain news. Somebody is very negative towards you. And you go home and you start sitting and you start thinking about those negative things. You need to rise up and change the situation yourself. Sometimes pick up the phone somebody else. Get yourself in prayer. Get yourself in the word. Let God have an avenue to start to minister into your situation. Let him start to minister the energy of the Holy Ghost, the positivity of God inside of your life. And see how quickly it changes that. How many times do you come out of prayer totally different than when you went into prayer? How many times you start listening to a message in the morning and you wake up and you don't even feel like getting out of bed? You don't feel like doing anything. You just feel, oh Lord, I just don't feel up to anything today. You start getting in the word. Your mind is a bit confused at first. There's all these competing thoughts going through your mind. But as you start to meditate, as you start to concentrate, as you start to listen to the word, something starts to change. And by the time you get to the end of listening to that message, you're ready to face the challenges of life once again. Friends, we've got to fight this battle wise because the devil knows what he's doing. The devil knows what he's doing. So they say the social factor. They say if we become lonely, we end up getting depressed and anxious. And in fact, dementia comes much quicker to people that are lonely. Hey! You see, even for your physical brain, it's not healthy for you not to interact socially. Why? Because you just think in your own thoughts. You're caught in your own little world. You're building this artificial reality, which many times is not the reality of things. Sometimes we need to smash that bubble. We need to pop that and say, let me go out there and find out, you know, what really is happening inside of my life? And you go and fellowship with somebody. And then they start to speak God's reality to you once again. And it starts to balance you once again. So I think, but my, I didn't realize I'd gone so far in the way that I've been thinking. It's a very dangerous thing. And that's why the prophet says Satan, when he studied us, he chose the mind. He knew the place to focus on. He knew the place to work on. Because once you start going down a certain line, you start thinking down a certain line, keep thinking, your brain starts to adapt to that way of thinking. Yeah? It starts getting conditioned. That means now it's not just going to be one thing that's going to change the condition of your brain. You're going to have to wage some warfare now. You're going to have to recognize your enemy. You're going to have to recognize that, hey, I've gone far down a path here, down the negative way. I need to turn around today. I need to start heading upwards once again. But it's not going to be that easy because you've already conditioned yourself. You've already given a lot of room inside of your thought process. You've already given a lot of place to the different neurons and so forth inside of your brain to start working down a certain channel. And that's why the prophet says you find certain people, they're nice people, but you don't like to be around them. Why? Because they become so negative. All they speak is negativity. We have our friend. No matter whatever you speak to them, everything they say is negative. We have one person that we know so well. They'll just be telling all the problems. You know, this brother in my church did this, and you know, this is happening. I don't understand this. Some people are just like that. And those kinds of people will be your friends, but you don't spend much time with them. And you'll make sure you're quite high on the mountaintop before you decide to go and fellowship with them. Because if you're feeling a little bit low, they're going to minister you deeper into your ditch. Those kind of, but there's other people, the prophet says, that you love to be around. Why are they positive? There's that atmosphere of the Holy Ghost around them. And the prophet says a Holy Ghost filled person is positive. How can you not be positive when you're in the spirit? God never has a negative thought. God is never negative about anything. Even when he corrects us, it's in love. God isn't negative. But friends, there's so much negativity. And they say one of the big things that causes negativity is stress. And in this age that we're living in, because you get so stressed out, and then there's all these chemicals, cortisol and all this, that gets released into your body because of stress. And that causes you to age quicker. That causes a whole lot of things, all of those things that are taking place inside of your body, because God never intended us to spend most of our lives in a stressful condition. Stress is a defense. When the enemy comes against you, when the dog wants to chase you, when there's a burglar coming into your house, stress kicks in. Adrenaline kicks in. Heightened perception of things. Your heart beats faster. You know, you can react quicker. But you're not supposed to stay in that condition. But we're living in an age now, the prophet says, such a complex age that we're not even fitted, it seems, to live in. So much pressure and the soft living and the pressure of riches and so forth. That if we're not careful, we get ourselves so stressed out all the time, yeah, that we start affecting our health. We start affecting the way that we perceive things. That's why it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You've got to take time to renew your strength. Even the young men shall faint and utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise upon wings as an eagle. You've got to spend time with him. You've got to spend time, and the more pressure in your life, the more time you need to spend with him to rise up to meet the challenge. And they say that. They say that dementia and those kind of things. They say even the caps on the end of your chromosomes, called the telomeres, actually shrink with loneliness. If you haven't been fellowshipping, your brain starts to shrink in those areas of fellowship. And then it becomes even harder for you the next time. You just feel, now I want to stay by myself. It's not healthy for believers to stay by themselves too long. Unless you're separating yourself. God never ordained us to stay by ourselves for long periods of time. Especially in the times of sorrow, in the times of trouble. David had his Jonathan. God will always put someone there with you. You know, every single situation, God has people ordained inside of your life, that if you will allow God to have his will in his way at that time, there's people that will come and help you in that situation. But sometimes we want to shut ourselves off. We don't even want to answer the telephone after a while. And maybe that call was going to be your lifeline to get you out of the situation that you are. Maybe the Holy Ghost moved upon a certain person to think about you at that time. And they were going to say something from their own experience was the very thing that was going to change you from your experience back into the line of victory once again. Friends, never cut yourself off from the sons and daughters of God. God has ordained us to be social beings. We need one another. We need to fellowship. It's healthy. Never stop coming to his house because you feel depressed. That's the devil speaking to you. The more depressed you feel, the more you need to be in his house. The more you need to be in fellowship with his people. But is it not amazing, though? More discouraged we get, the less we want to read our Bibles. It's exactly the opposite. The more discouraged we get, the less we want to listen to the message of the hour. Friends, when you find the enemy is fighting against you and you don't even want to put ammunition in your gun, how are you going to overcome? God will give you the ammunition, but you've got to fight wise. You've got to understand the way that the battle is fought. And you've got to understand that, be careful. This is where either your defeat or your victory begins. This is where the devil's going to start, and depends on the way that we entertain things or reject things. Depends on what we do with those processes that are coming through our minds is going to determine so much about our future and so much of the future of those that are around and about us. So much. If you are always saying to your children that they're foolish, those children are at a serious disadvantage in life. You should never speak to your children negative. You should never speak negativity to your children. It's not right. King Saul did that. Maybe he said it to Jonathan. Oh, thou son of the perverse woman. In public, imagine. You don't want to be that kind of a person. You'd rather be like David, that he'd be encouraging his son. My son, listen to the instructions of his father. Store up wisdom. You know, the book of Proverbs. So many of the things is what David told Solomon. And that's where he got his wisdom from. We as believers, our children have a far greater advantage than all of the rest of the children in this life. Because we can instruct them according to the mind of Christ. We can generate an atmosphere inside of our home that they don't know about a lot of the stresses and complexities of life. We don't just put them in front of the television to watch all of this nonsense that's on television. We select and we filter and we make sure the things which they watch and the things they spend their time in isn't harmful for their development. They should be at such an advantage. And if you in your position as a father or as a mother, you can say things to your children that will do so much for them in the future. You can build them up. You can encourage them. Because if you speak to them after you prayed for them, there's going to be a big difference. Once you go and pray, then you come and you speak to your children. Oh, friends, God is already ministering to them at a young age, so they don't realize it. And God is already establishing a platform that He's going to build on later on. But if you're going to be speaking negative and all this bringing them down, friends, it does something inside of their brain. That brain starts accepting. You find abusive relationships. You find if somebody's in an abusive relationship, maybe it's a woman who's so much beaten by her husband, yeah? Emotionally and physically abused. A woman can actually get to a place that the more the husband abuses her, the less able she is to leave that relationship. It's this powerful thing. She can become so dependent on an abusive man because the man's told her all the time how useless she is, how foolish she is, how nobody else respects her, how she will never succeed without him. And if she's not careful and she continues to think, she starts accepting some of those things. And then when he goes to work and she's there and she's crying at home and she's thinking over those things inside of her mind, that, hey, I think I'm worthless. Why did I get a husband like this? Oh, and all those things. After a while, she can get so negative, so conditioned, that even for her to rise up and think that she can have victory from that condition, it takes the grace of God. Same as spiritual abuse. If you've been in a church where the minister abused the people, yeah, through dictatorship and things like that, you find those people sometimes are so dependent they can't make their own decisions in life. They always have to go to the pastor for every decision. We saw that in Zimbabwe. It shouldn't be like that, friends. Should never be like that. There's a certain realm where you need counsel. But on the rest of it, the Bible says you don't need any man to teach you. You need the Holy Ghost yourself. You seek the personal leadership of the Holy Ghost. But some ministers, they do that. And sometimes it's intentional. They want to get the people dependent on them. Yeah? So they abuse the people, even through the message, through spiritual means. Jesus met one of them. He met the woman at the well. She had been through religion and abused her. What did religion do for her? It did nothing for her. When she met Jesus, what did she say? She said, our father, your father, our father Jacob, he built this well. You know what? This temple here, we worship in the mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. All that religion had done for her was make her negative. Had made her contentious. Had made her discouraged about the things of God. That's all that it had done. Until she met Jesus. And then there was a turning point. And then he started to speak what she needed to hear inside of her life. And that was the turning point. And he spoke something that struck the seed that was inside of her. And God started to reverse all that had been done to her. And that's exactly what needs to be done to us many times. The prophet speaks about Johnny Crow. There's many Johnny Crows in many different situations. Johnny Crow, who knows Johnny Crow? We all know Johnny Crow. The farmer saw all the crows flying south all the time. They're coming and landing in his fields. And he says, I'm tired of these crows eating all of my wheat. So what did he do? He says, I'll catch one of them and I'll tie it up and it'll be a warning to the other crows. And he caught a crow. He caught Johnny Crow. And he tied a piece of string around his leg and tied him to a post in the middle of the field. And Johnny Crow would try to escape for quite some time. He had tried to rise up, but he couldn't. Something was holding him back. He was bound. And then all of the crows would go over and say, Johnny Crow, come south. Winter's coming. Winter's coming. And Johnny Crow, he'd try and try until in the end he stopped trying. He got to the stage that he just thought, I'm never going to do it. And then one day a kind-hearted man visited the farmer. And he saw Johnny Crow in the field and he was now starved and he was thin and he could hardly fly. And he said to the farmer, because he was kind-hearted, let me go and let him go. And he went and he cut the rope. And he left Johnny Crow there in the field. But Johnny Crow had been so long in that condition. He'd been so long in his defeat and his negativity that even when the crows now flew over and said, Johnny Crow, you're free. Johnny Crow, let's fly south for the winter. He couldn't. He'd say, no, I'm still bound. Is that not a sad condition to be in? But you can condition yourself like that if you're not careful. You can get yourself so far down in your own way of thinking that even when God's deliverance comes to you, it's hard for you to respond to his deliverance. It shouldn't be like that, friends. You know what you just need to do if you're a Johnny Crow? Just start flapping your wings. Just take a few steps and flap your wings. You may not be able to go far the first time, but the moment you take off a little bit, it's going to encourage you to try a little bit more. And then you try a little bit more, and soon you're going to be up there flying with the rest. But there's a lot of Johnny Crows around. You know, Johnny Crows, you meet them all the time. People that have been through things. People that have been through, you know, abuse. People that have tried to get healed of things that they were never healed. Until now they feel, I'm never going to be healed. That's a Johnny Crow condition. Don't stay in that condition. Because what does God say about your situation? God doesn't say you're never going to be healed. That's your own thoughts that are telling you that. And the devil wants to take advantage of your thoughts. Because that's the battleground. But God says it's finished. That's what he says. God says, by my stripes you heal. That's the truth of the word. You might say, but I don't feel it. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's what he says that's important. And when what he says starts to resonate within you, something's going to take place. But until then, keep saying what he says. Keep testifying the truth of what God's word is. That's the way the prophet says that we need to do it. They say another thing to help yourself. If you become negative or lonely, yeah, they say, well, a very good thing to do is to do voluntary work. That's in the natural world. Go and help other people. Step out of that negative place that you are. Take a step out of that condition. You get home, you've had a bad week, things aren't good. Go and testify to somebody. Go and visit a new person. Go and do something for the kingdom of God. And the moment you start now to interact and start to do something positive in the life of somebody else, like with Job, when he prayed for his friends, God healed him. That's the principle of the word. Don't wait until you feel good. I don't feel like visiting anybody anymore. And you think staying in that condition, next week you're going to feel better than you're feeling today. You're never going to feel like visiting anybody. So the best thing is don't pay attention to your feelings. What is right? What is needful? What is necessary in your condition? Respond to that. Do what is right. Don't do what you feel that you want to do. Always do that which is right. And your feelings will follow later on. Your feelings will catch up with you down the way. But that's why sometimes the prophet says we have to go beyond the camp. You know, sometimes like Gideon was in his own camp. You know, he had his little bit of wheat there by the threshing floor. And you're saying, you know, I hope the Midianites don't come and take this away from me either. He'd been in that condition for a long time. Then the Lord came and spoke to him and said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. And he sort of said, me, a mighty man of valor. I'm hiding away from the enemies here. I'm threshing my wheat in secret. How can I be a mighty man of valor? Don't look at your current condition. Look at what God has said about you. And then he starts to meditate now upon the word. And he says, how can this be? If God is with us, where be his miracles? Then the Lord says, okay, go in this thy might. He needed to go beyond the camp of his current condition. He needed to make the first step. And the Lord came and said, okay, offer a burnt offering. Go and cut down your father's grove. You go and read it. The Bible says he went and he did it at night because of fear of his father's house. You know, it was a good first step. He wasn't yet defeating the Midianites. He wasn't yet a great mighty man of valor the way that the angel had told him. But he had taken the first step. He had stepped out of his circumstances he'd been in so long. And he says, okay, I'm not used to doing this. Because whenever you have to step out of your comfort zone, it's never an easy thing to do. They say that in your brain, the first time that you do something is always the most difficult. Because all of the circuitry in your brain isn't wired up at that time down that channel to do that. You're not used to doing that. So the first time you do something is always going to be difficult. But as you continue doing it over and over again, your brain starts to adapt. And that starts becoming normal for you to do that. But at first, you've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to go beyond your camp. You've got to look at your circumstances and say, I'll perish if I stay in these circumstances. My family will starve if I stay in these circumstances. Let me do something. And there was something rose up inside of him. Now look at Gideon. There were two parts of Gideon. There was the soul, yeah, that was predestined. There was a seed in him that he was a mighty man of valor. He was going to lead the nation of Israel to victory. But there was the outward man that had been conditioned by what he'd been going through for such a long time. And that outward man at that time didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. So there's going to have to be a stepping out. There's going to have to be a challenging of circumstances. There's going to have to be a stepping out in faith upon the word. Until those two things start coming closer and closer together. And then they start to harmonize. And then Gideon starts to see himself eventually the way that God was seeing him in the beginning. Then he leads the nation of Israel to victory. It's always going to be like that. Now look at one of the steps that Gideon takes, which was a good step. Although he's still scared, that's his nature, that's his temperament. He's been beaten down for so long. It's not easy for him to overcome all at once. And God understands that. He lays out his fleece. The Lord says, okay, if this is going to help you with your faith. He puts out a fleece the next night. Says, okay, and the Lord allows him to do that. Yeah. Then Gideon goes, cuts down the grove at night. The Lord gives him a victory. He's expecting everybody to come, his uncle and all of them to put him to death. His father stands up for him. Oh, Gideon starts to say, but hey, I didn't think it was going to work like this. What does the Bible say that he did? He erected an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom. One of the most important things that you need to do on your journey from where you are to where you're supposed to be is when the Lord does something for you, make an altar. Make an altar. Testify. Fellowship around that. Let it be something, a landmark in your experience. Don't just quickly move on past that. He made an altar and he worshipped the Lord and he called it Jehovah Shalom because God had granted him grace. Our friends, he's not yet there, but he's on his way. Then we know the story. He goes to the camp of the Midianites and that Midianite man has a dream and he sees the barley loaf and all that. And from there, God starts to lead him step by step until Gideon becomes a mighty man of faith, becomes a mighty man of valor. But it all started when he came to a certain day that he says, enough is enough. If I stay like this, nothing's ever going to change. I'll perish like this. Let me go beyond my camp. Let me step beyond. Let me challenge some of these things that are challenging me. Some of us say, you know what we need to do? We need to face up to our fears. Sometimes we've had fears that have governed us for so long. The only way you overcome fear is to face up to it. And when you go and face up to it, you'll be embarrassed to see how small and insignificant it really was. But you had built it up into this great Goliath inside of your mind. That's the way that fears and circumstances are. But the moment that you're willing to say, let me challenge the circumstance. Let me step out one step at a time. Of course, Gideon's heart was beating fast. Of course, he had nervousness inside of himself at first. But as God started to give him one victory after another, even the way that he looked at things started to change. Even the way he looked at himself started to change. Everything started not to conform with the way that he was acting, the way that he was going forward. And then in the end, he became a judge for Israel. We need to face up to some of those fears. Listen what the prophet says from spiritual adoption. In order to stay with God, stay gentle. We know this quote well. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. Because God is love. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon Him. Never use your own mind. Take His thoughts. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over. How do you repeat it over? That's meditating upon the Word. That's sharing the Word with somebody else. If the Lord reveals something to you, one of the best ways to benefit from it is going to share it with somebody else. That's watering the seed. You're now watering it. It's going to become even more real to you as you start fellowshipping with other people around it. Any minister will tell you, you learn so much yourself in the pulpit. You do. You learn yourself. So many things become more real. So many things you see it for yourself. Why? Because you're sharing it with other people. And God comes and waters the seed. The prophet says that. Repeat them over and say, "Oh God, take all my doubt away. And let my thoughts be your thoughts." And you sick people, do what we're speaking. Cast away the thought of sickness. And take God's healing thought. Let them become your thoughts. Think on these things. That's what the prophet's saying. It's not you trying to change your own thoughts. But it's you taking His thoughts. And you allowing those thoughts to start to move down a certain channel and declare themselves and make themselves real to you. Then you start to see things the way that He's seeing things. And when you and Him see things the same way, the situation's going to change right there. But sometimes it's a process that we've got to go through. In Luke chapter 2, we know the prophet says last night, the word is in the bride like it was in Mary. But think about Mary. Think about this principle of meditation. The Bible says that the shepherds came in haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here's Mary and Joseph in the stable. Yeah? And here come shepherds and they're saying things which the angel has told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see? That was the service after the service now. She didn't just listen at the service when the shepherds were coming preaching the message which the angel had told them. That was good. But she kept those things now. And she pondered them in her heart. She weighed them up and said, "Oh, what do these things mean? What is this child going to be? What did the angel tell to the shepherd?" Friends, that's where your victory comes in. It's not mind over matter. It's meditating on His Word. It's giving His Word an opportunity to move into that channel inside of your thought process. And then things start to change. The prophet speaks about Mary and Jehovah of miracles. We won't be much longer. He says, "As she was thinking on that scripture, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." She became so interested in what she was saying or thinking until she almost forgot to turn the corner. She's going to go and get water in the morning. She's heard maybe at the synagogue the day before. The pastor's just been inspired to bring Isaiah 9 verse 6, which is exactly her scripture. "Unto us a child is born." Maybe he took Isaiah 7 verse 14, "A virgin shall conceive." As the word was going forth, something moved inside of her. But as of yet, it has to come from here. It's got to get down to here. So she goes from there, and as she's walking the next day, going about her business, she's meditating upon what was preached the day before. She's thinking upon those. She's pondering these things. She's taking them inside of her heart. You know, for an egg to hatch, it takes a hen on average 21 days to sit upon those eggs. Now, if that hen doesn't sit there for 21 days, you're not going to have anything hatch, no matter how fertile those eggs are. If that hen just flitters about, just once in a while comes and sits on the eggs, it goes off, and once in a while comes and sits on the eggs will never hatch. It's the same as if you don't meditate upon the word. If you don't consider the word. You know, if you just think a little bit about the word and then, well, I'll brush it off, get busy with that, then think a little bit about it, you're never going to hatch anything out inside of your experience. But if you can allow the Holy Ghost to brood over that seed that has been sown, if you can allow an atmosphere by meditation, by worship, by separating yourself, by being still and knowing that He's God, and give God the opportunity to really take the virtue, to really take the life from the word that has been brought to you, it's going to change you. Because that's what Mary did. She pondered the word. And she kept it in her heart. And she meditated upon those things. And as she was walking, then something started to happen. The prophet says, oh, it's too bad that the church today doesn't walk in the Spirit like that more than they do. For it's at that kind of a time when God comes to you. When you're thinking like that. When you're meditating on His Word. When you're thinking about the promises of God, like them on the way to Emmaus. When they were speaking of Him. There was a lot of negative things taking place. There was a lot of people saying, I'm not going to follow this message anymore. Look, He was on the cross. Now they put Him in the tomb. But those two on the way to Emmaus, they were reasoning about the faith. They said, we thought this was going to be like this. We don't quite understand this. And they were speaking about Him and He drew near. And then He started to minister to them in their current line of thought. And He started to show them, you fools, slow of heart to believe. How many times does He do that to us? You'll be thinking down a certain line. You'll accept a certain something inside of your life. And the Lord comes to you and draws near and says, you fool. Why are you thinking like that? I don't think of you like that. So why are you thinking of yourself like that? And that's what Mary did. The prophet says, while we are thinking about Him, the trouble with the world today, we're thinking about everything else but Him. Then we wonder why we don't get blessings. Think on Him. Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you, saith the Lord. Think upon Him. David said that he would write His commandments upon the bedpost and meditate on them day and night. That's what the church ought to do. Keep your heart tuned in with God day and night, for it's then when He appears. Begin to think, I'm one of His children. He saved me. He's good to me. He loves me and I love Him. Don't just wait till you go to church or some convenient hour. Keep Him on your mind all the time. Oh, what a life that would be. What a life that will be. What a difference. You know what it's like when you're at work, at school, at college, you're around the home. And there's a certain something in the Word that's blessing you. And you go about your business for a while and then you just get alone with yourself for a while and you get back to that old scripture again. Then you start fellowshipping with it, and it's so sweet. And you go back and start doing whatever you need to do and you can't wait for lunchtime. You go back at lunchtime and you go searching for that and searching in the message. About what did the prophet say about this? And you start fellowshipping about that. Friends, by the time you get to the end of the day, what a wonderful kind of a day that it is. But when you start the day negative and you give in to your negativity and you kick the dog and you don't want to even give food to the cat and you don't speak well to your children in the morning and you get up and you go to work like that. You say, I don't feel like working today. And you're not even productive in the things that you do. You know what you're doing? You're feeding your negativity. That's not the way. You've got to challenge it at some stage. You've got to say, I don't want it to be like this. I don't like this atmosphere. I don't like the way that I'm thinking. This is going to change now. And one of the best ways is go and pray. And as you start speaking to Him in prayer, start speaking His Word back to Him in prayer. Start speaking and thanking Him for all the things that He's done. And see how the atmosphere starts to change around you. That may be while you're driving in the car on the way to work. Now that 20, 30 minutes in the car can make a big difference to the condition that you're in. That may be just when you wake up in the morning and you shut yourself in with God. But at some stage, you've got to recognize that this situation needs to change. Let's finish. The prophet, as she went walking down the street, there was no one yet on the street. And as she walked, all of a sudden, she began to realize there was something around her. A real strange feeling. Oh, that's the most wonderful experience. I trust that everybody here has experienced them kind of times. If you haven't, this would be a good night to start. When you're negative and your body is feeling negative and your mind is negative and it's hard and everything's against you and you start to meditate on Him and then something starts to draw near and there's a certain sacred feeling that comes around. Ah, friends, deliverance has come. If you can accept it, your deliverance has already started. If you just start to feed that experience and you start to continue down that kind of a way, something good's going to take place. Something good is going to happen indeed. Now, the prophet says, someone will say, well, I'm just not worthy. I guess maybe I've done this. Get that out of your mind. Sure, you're not worthy. You never will be. But Jesus is. And He's the one who gives it to you. He's the one who paid the price. The prophet says, if you are in that kind of a condition, what you need to do? Start thinking about Jesus. Start thinking about Him. Start reading about Him. Start meditating upon Him. And see the difference that He will bring inside of his life. The prophet, he had to overcome these things himself. You'll find it in the message. Many times the prophet speaks about negative thinking. And many times the prophet says, I don't want to get a critical spirit. Listen to what he says in What is the Holy Ghost. I sent this one around the other day. He says, the other night, at around a little after midnight, the wife and I sitting up there and praying and talking to the Lord across a little footstool with two open Bibles. We consecrated ourselves anew to God for complete service. That we would surrender our wills and everything and every negative thought to serve the Lord Jesus. We need to do that on a regular basis to reconsecrate ourselves. To go to the altar and say, Lord, I want to reconsecrate myself. To take your wife, just go and speak to your wife and sit with your wife and speak to her and she speaks to you. And you say, I want to lay aside every negative thought. I don't want these things to go any further than this. And you pray and you reconsecrate yourselves. He says, the other night, across our little old jewel fold seat, after praying for 3 or 4 days, I got in such a place going around and thinking, oh God, we're at the end of the road. I realized the things I've neglected and so forth. He says, and then I started to think about Jesus. And I said, honey, I take your hand. By God's grace and God's help, let me never be negative again. The prophet started to look at himself and he said, you know, I was so tired and there were so many things that needed to be done. He says, then I started to think about Jesus. I started to think about Jesus being so tired that he could hardly put one step in front of another. And then they brought the coffin with and the widow of Nain was there. And Jesus, with the last ounce of strength that he had, he went to that coffin and he laid his hand and said, son, arise. And the young man arise. And he said, and I started to look at my circumstance and I started to feel ashamed with myself. And I got my wife and I said, honey, pray with me. I don't want to think these negative thoughts again. Ah, friends, we're serving a wonderful master. We're serving somebody who's so good to us. We're serving someone who's so faithful. He's so patient. He's so kind to us. He deserves far more than we could ever give him. Let's never get to the situation that we start to feel it's a burden. Let's never get to the situation that you start to feel, but no, I've been doing this for too long. No, don't ever do that. That's the time to consecrate yourself once again. That's the time to put it before the Lord. I'll finish with one quote here. When the prophet is speaking about a certain woman who comes in the prayer line, if I can find it here. And this woman came in the prayer line and she felt she was going to die. Brother Crosby was speaking about it the other day and I found the quote. I think I can find it here. Here. This woman came to him and she was saying, Brother Branham, I feel like I'm going to die. And the prophet says, just have faith. And the woman says, is it possible for me to have faith when I feel that I'm going to die? And the prophet says, sister, the great problem that you have is you're listening to that feeling. Never listen to that feeling. You just keep saying to yourself, I'm going to live. Jesus has healed me. And he says, you may not yet inside of your soul believe it now, but as you start to speak it, as you start to think about what you're saying, something will start to rise up inside of you and soon you'll start actually believing what you're saying. And the moment that you believe what you're saying, there's going to come a change. My. But imagine getting right to your deathbed, right to the end of the journey. And God sends a messenger with a commission and there's deliverance right there. But you've got so far down in your thought process that you got to the place your feelings are so real to you that even God's deliverance is hard for you to accept it. Friends, let's not accept that condition like that. Let today be a turning point. Inside of yourself, let's not allow these negative thoughts once again. If somebody wants to come to you and speak negative about somebody else, they're pulling down the whole team here. If someone speaks to me negative about another brother, negative about another sister, and I feed that negativity, I'm like a cancer in the body. I'm pulling down the whole thing that I'm supposed to be lifting up. Let's not do that, friends. We need each other. You may not realize how much I might need you next week. You may need me next week. You don't know what God has down the way. You don't know what's in the future. Friends, it's not good for man to be alone. God wants to minister through the body. God wants to minister in the circumstances that you are. But sometimes it's going to be contrary to the way that you feel, or contrary to the way that you see things at that time. And that's why Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. We have access, like we said last night, to the mind of Christ. If we just get ourselves out the way, just yield ourselves, there's a supernatural something that starts moving in. And we start seeing things the way that God sees them. And as we meditate on that, as we ponder upon that like Mary did, as we give free course to that working and moving of the Holy Ghost to do what He wants to do, you'll find it'll change your physical circumstances. It'll change your natural circumstances. The Bible actually says, what does the verse say that it's health to all your flesh? It says about His word, it says it's life to them that find Him. And even health to all your flesh. Positivity, walking in the Spirit, walking in His word. It's good for you in every aspect of your life. And it's good for all the people that are around you. So let's be like Gideon today, friends. Every one of us here is born again of the Spirit. You are a mighty man of valor. There's a mighty man of valor inside of there that if you start challenging your circumstances, if you start stepping outside of your comfort zone, you're going to start seeing God move on your behalf. Let's not accept the status quo. Let's not accept something just because I've had this for a long time. That means nothing to God. Today's the day that it can start to change. And it will change if you just continue to follow Him. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship before we come to a time of prayer. There's nothing worse than negativity. Don't you hate it? No, that darkness. The prophet would see critical spirits as a darkness over the people. I'm sure that you and I don't want to fellowship with those kind of things. So let's arise and shine because the light has come. Let's seek His grace. Let's seek His face. And let's call upon His name. And greetings to our visitors. In Jesus' name. Amen.
When the battle's over, we shall.
Before we come to prayer, let's sing one more song. Let's sing. He knows my name. Does he not know your name? He knows where you are today. He knows the circumstances of your life. If you don't know him, he knows you. So why not accept him? As we had come to pray, you pray to him. If you're still in your sin, you can't expect the Lord to give you victory. You can't expect the Lord to minister his word into the circumstances of your life that you're facing up to unless you accept him first as the Lord of your life. But if you'll commit your life into his hands, you become his responsibility then. He died for you. He purchased you with his blood. And if you'll give yourself over him today and say, Jesus, I accept you today. I accept you as my Lord. I accept you as my Savior. He then will start to help you to deal one by one with every challenge inside of your life. No matter how hopeless the situation may seem, he will make a difference if you allow him access into whatever you're going through. So he knows your name. Don't forget that as we sing this song.
I have a maker. He for my heart. Before
might say, but I don't know how to pray. I've said it many times. Jesus, help me. That's a prayer. Jesus, I need you. That's a prayer. Jesus, I don't know what's happening inside of my life. That's a prayer. To pray is to speak what's in your heart. To give him his position that he's the one who's the answer to your current situation. And then just speak what's inside of your heart. That's prayer. Because he sees the desire of your heart. Let's come to a time of prayer. Whatever it is inside of your life, as we enter into a new year. New Year's mean really nothing, but it gives you an opportunity to look back, to consider. What is it inside of your life? Do you have a Goliath? Do you have giants in your life? Do you have something which you have been fearing to face up to? Do you have something that's been weighing you down? Do you have something that's been eating your joy, taking you from where you used to be to where you are now? There's always a cause. And the prophet says you have to find the cause first before you can find the cure. I told you today, Jesus is the cure. His word is the cure. His spirit is the cure. His divine power is the cure. But you need to be honest with yourself about the cause. Some of us need to step out beyond the camp today. Some of us, you've been at that mountain far too long. You need to turn northwards today. You need to take the first step. Some have been in the mud pits too long, that the word of deliverance is not real to them. You need to start making changes in your life so you can spend more time with Him and His people and in His presence and in His word, because it's far more important than anything else that you can do inside of your life. Because as Brother Crosby preached, where will you be 5 years from now? If you look at the current processes that are taking place inside of you, where will you be 5 years from now? If you look at where your thoughts are leading you to today, where will you be 5 years from today? If you look at the decisions that you're making inside of your heart during the week, where will you be 5 years from today? But in His presence, you come back to your right mind. In His presence, the mind of Christ draws near to you. Why not obey His mind now? Why not yield yourself to His word and start the process on the way back now? In prayer, let's all call upon His name. Let's seek His face. Let's say, Jesus, take me by the hand. Take me one step at a time. But Lord, today is the start of the rest of my life. Let's all pray. Father, amen. You may be seated a second, saints. Let's have dedication of the two little babies. Little children are such a blessing. They bring so much joy into the home, yeah? To those who got little babies, we've got our little guy. He's such a little happy guy. Sometimes when you're not feeling so happy, he makes you feel happy. It's so fine. Let's sing, bring them in. We'll ask if Sister Bibi, Brother Ellie would come with the little one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, bring them in, bring them in. Let's sing, saints. Let's sing, let's sing, let's sing. Let's not go to sleep.
The shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the den, sit down.
children of your sons and daughters, may be a blessing, Lord, Father, each day we pray. Father, if you would tell me, Lord, may you allow me to a son of God, Father, to be a pride to his parents. May it be like his father. We have the faith of his father. May, Lord, it be like his mother, Lord. May it reflect Christ, Father, to this world, if you would tell me.
Amen.
Bring him up unto me and put him into your hands, Jesus. Bless this little boy. Protect him, Lord. You've given them, to them, Father. Now we come to give him back unto you.
Amen.
We dedicate him to you, your precious name. Amen. Let's sing the chorus once again. We ask Brother Lydia to come. Oh, somebody wrote both of them down in the paper. No, okay, so it's for next week. Yes.
It said there that we had Brother Vlad as well. That's okay. I think that's for next week. Let's stand, saints. We really do appreciate. I just wanted to say one thing. We really do appreciate what's happening in the Sunday school. May the Lord bless Brother Will, bless all of the teachers, the program for this year. It's very encouraging. May the Lord bless the children. When we put our efforts in like that, when you make an investment spiritually, there'll come good things from that. So let's keep praying for them. We really do appreciate it. May the Lord bless them as well. Let's sing one more song. We asked Brother Francis, would you be kind enough to close for us in a word of prayer, bro? Let's sing one more as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence.
In your presence,
in your presence, that's where I am strong.
In your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence,
that's where I belong.
I belong.
In your presence, oh God,
in your presence,
that's where
I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence,
that's where I
go.
Let's bow head and pray. Most precious city, Heavenly Father, this afternoon we come humbly before thy throne of mercy to thank you for the privilege that you have given to us to be in thy house. Father, it's time when we come in this place, we come under expectation, Father, that we shall receive something from thee, Father. We don't come here to meet with one another, but we come to meet with thee, Father. And we believe that this place was consecrated and ordained for you to speak to us and us to speak to thee, Father. But sometimes the way you speak to us is different from what we expect, Father. And we ask you as thy children, Father, that we shall walk and accept thy way, Father. Because your way is the best for us, Father. And you prophet says that you only walk in you provide the way, Father. And you have provided a way in this evening time, which is the message of the hour, Father. But why we ask you, Father, that this message of the hour, Father, this year, not a resolution of mind, Father, but a change of life in each of us life, Father, and grant us a closer and a deeper walk with thee, Father. Father, we could look back and says that this 2016, something good has taken place, Father. Because we know that each time when you come, something good takes place, Father. And there's nobody in the past that has met with you, Father, and remain the same thing, Father. And we remember at the lady at the well of Jacob, Father, when she met with you, Father, something happened, Father. There was a change of life, Father. And when we come here, it's to meet with you, Father. And coming this time, Father, and we want a change in our life, Father. Amen. You know inside of our hearts where man and woman can't see it, but you are able to see it, Father. And you know exactly the state, spiritual condition of each soul present here, Father. Amen. Father, we ask you, not the riches of the things of this world, because thy word says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything shall be given unto thee, Father. And we ask you that you shall grant us, Father, our adoption, Father, that we shall not be children anymore, Father, but we shall be adopted to the place of authority, Father, where we can act like Jesus, speak like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and manifest thy power, Father. Because the purpose of the gospel is to manifest the power that come with the gospel, Father. Father, if there's any unspoken request, Father, this afternoon, you know the heart, Father, of each of us. And thy word says, you know the number of even the hair that is in each of us' head, Father. Amen. Father, what about our little unspoken requests? Hallelujah. You know them all, Father. And we ask you, Father, that you shall grant it to us, Father. Because a little group like this, Father, will not ask anything contrary to thy word. If there's something that was asked that is contrary to thy word, Father, let never it become to fulfillment, Father. Amen. And we ask you, Father, as we want to depart from this place, we want to depart with thee, Father, that you shall be with us, that we shall be able to meditate upon thy word, Father, day and night, that this word will leave the page of the spoken word, will leave the page of the Bible, Father, and will be manifested inside of our life. And we could say like Paul that we are the written epistle of the gospel read by all men, Father. Because we know that this world is in darkness, Father. But thy light has come to us, Father. Let us be able to shine that light where there is darkness, Father. Bless us all together. Bless the pastor. Bless the effort that he made, Father. The time that he put aside to seek thy face and come with something to deliver to thy people, Father. Father, we ask you that you shall renew his virtue, Father. Bless everybody. Bless every officer, Father. Everybody that doing something for thy kingdom, Father. Bless each of us, Father. And we commit all at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord and the precious Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Just to say to visitors, please feel at home. Please come again. There's no stranger in the house of the Lord. There's only certain people we meet later on in life than other people. But God ordains our footsteps. You know, God really knew we'd meet. So please feel free. Come back to his house again. Let's depart and dismiss with one more song, Brother Joe.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Give me the strength to run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ calling on the scene. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be God wants me to be. In my life, it's a two-horse race. The black and the white, Lord, I must keep pace. Who will win this race? The choice is yours, the one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let it be your heart, Lord. Your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. A change in my life now that Christ is in. A picture of Him they can clearly see. For I want to die, I must decrease, for Christ must have full reign. You I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve. Your we are called long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. For the mark of the